Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
It's Mother's Day. Right, we've covered Mother's Day this morning. I got to spend some time with my mom yesterday afternoon, and we had a nice cookout over in Troy, and we're going to have a cookout later this afternoon. But instead of talking about food this morning, I'm going to talk about flowers. Okay, I'm going to talk about flowers, folks. If you don't know what to get mom for Mother's Day, you can't miss with getting flowers unless she's allergic, and then get plastic flowers. All right. One of Pastor Vicky's favorite flowers are lilacs. We have some lilacs up here on the screen this morning. We have several lilac bushes in our yard, and they usually bloom a beautiful purple. I've got a couple of white lilac bushes, and they're coming out right about this time of year. As a matter of fact, don't tell Pastor Vicky. She's not in here right now. Don't tell her, but I plan to go home after church. I'm going to cut a couple of lilacs, and I'm going to put them in a vase for dinner. This afternoon, when I smell lilacs, you know, just the aroma of lilacs as soon as it hits you. When I smell lilacs, I think of my grandma and grandpa Billheimer's house because they had tons of lilac bushes. They lived in Crystal Lake over by Medway, and I remember going there as a little kid on Sycamore Street over in Crystal Lake, and I can smell it right now. I can smell what my grandma and grandpa's house smelled like. And to me, lilacs smell like my grandma Billheimer, my mom's mom, who actually passed away 13 years ago this past month. A few summers back, we had this lilac bush in our backyard, and it was kind of getting out of control. It was really kind of just growing all over the place, and it was almost 10 feet tall, and it was very difficult for me to trim the top of it. So at the end of the season, I cut all of the stems off down to about 3 feet to the ground. And Pastor Vicky was like, she was mad. She was upset. She's like, why did you do that? Why did you do that? And she had perceived that I had ruined this lilac bush forever. She thought, oh my goodness, he cut it down. It'll never come out. And for a season, it did look like I had ruined that lilac bush. It was just a couple of stumps out there in the backyard. It was kind of ugly, Reverend Blaine. It was kind of ugly. But sure enough, about halfway through the next summer, some new shoots started blooming up from those stumps in the yard. And sure enough, this summer, it is in full bloom. It's beautiful, beautiful bush. It's back to its normal self. We had to prune the lilacs so they could be more beautiful and more fruitful. And that's why I called this morning's sermon on this Mother's Day, Pruning Lilacs. This whole notion of pruning, it gets to the reason why the nation of Israel was forced to wander in the desert for 40 years. We've been talking about this over the past several weeks. Since Easter Sunday, we've been exploring why this people, the people of Israel, God's chosen people, who had been miraculously delivered from the bonds of Egyptian slavery, were doomed to never arrive in the promised land. We've been trying to figure out why. But why were they not able to realize the promise of the Father? And what we found out as we've explored this over the past several weeks is because they were found unworthy of the promise. They were found to be untrustworthy of the promise from the Father. And so God destined them to wander in the desert for 40 years. He said, you will never, this generation who was rescued from the bonds of Egyptian slavery will never cross over into the promised land. Being destined to wander in the desert for 40 years, I want you to see this morning. We're bringing this all together because we're getting closer to Pentecost Sunday, and this is all going somewhere over the next couple of weeks. What I've been talking about since Easter is all going somewhere, and I'm taking us to that place as a faith family. Being destined to wander in the desert for 40 years, it was all about pruning the lilac bushes. This whole story about the nation of Israel, it's all about pruning the lilac bushes. Why did they not make it to the promised land? Why were they destined to wander? It's all about sorting wheat from chaff. It's all about pruning the vine so it could be more fruitful moving forward. We don't like to address this issue. We don't like to talk about pruning. It's just not a popular topic. Pruning is painful. Pruning hurts. But sometimes pruning is necessary to cut things down or cut things out in order to promote growth. In order to promote effectiveness. In order to promote fruitfulness. Pruning is sometimes necessary, even in our lives. In the case of the Israelites, who we've been talking about for the past several weeks, who have been wandering in the desert for 40 years, destined to never enter the promised land, God was moving to remove this unworthy, untrustworthy people, this unworthy, untrustworthy generation. He was cutting out the malignancy so the patient could survive. He was cutting out the malignancy so the nation had a chance to live. And really what they didn't see, what they couldn't see in the middle of what was going on in the midst, was that God was cutting out the malignancy, the untrustworthy, those who couldn't be trusted, so a royal priesthood could be born, and so the kingdom of heaven could thrive here on earth. That's what this is all about. The original disciples, they knew something about pruning too. That original group of disciples, let's fast forward the tape, right? We see it play out in the Passion story the week before Easter. Judas Iscariot, he was one of the original 12, but Judas was rotten to the core. Ooh, sound effect, right at the moment. Judas Iscariot was one of the original chosen disciples of Jesus, but he was rotten to the core. He betrays Jesus. He winds up betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He was there. He had front row seats. He had access to the master. And he winds up betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And through his betrayal of Jesus, Judas had to be pruned from the group. It's part of the Easter story we really don't like to talk about. Right? We like to think about the empty tomb and we like to think about Jesus ascending into heaven. But this morning I just want to talk for a couple of moments about the fact that even in that inner circle of disciples, pruning was necessary. Even within that inner core, pruning was necessary. And instead of leaving his chair at the table empty, the disciples realized that it was time for new life. It was time to bring someone else forward to fill that empty seat that had been left vacant by Judas. And we find this all occurring, guess what? We find this all occurring exactly 40 days Exactly 40 days after Jesus rose from the grave. Guess what? This next Thursday is Ascension Day. 40 days since Easter Sunday, the day Jesus ascended into heaven right before their eyes. We read about it in Acts chapter 1 in detail. We also read about it in a couple of the other Gospels. During this 40 days when Jesus appeared to them, resurrection Jesus, remember? It's not the same Jesus who was with them before he died on the cross. This is a new person, new body, resurrected Jesus, alive, back from the grave, but still marked in the hands and the feet and the side by the wounds he had received on the cross. Resurrection Jesus had spent 40 days with them on earth. He taught them during this 40 days. Many of them saw him. Many of the eyewitnesses experienced him. There are eyewitness accounts of resurrection Jesus on this earth, so we can know it's real. And he taught them during this time. And we've talked about how during this time he also took a little bit of a moment. He took a beat to reinstate them, to get them back on course. Remember Peter? We talked about that whole story, and he reinstated Peter. And during this time he also inspired them. last week as we gathered together. I don't know about you, but when we gathered together last week for our annual meeting, and when we broke open the Word and we shared communion together, that was inspiring for me. And I hope it was inspiring for you. And in the same way, Jesus took some time to inspire his inner circle because he knew that they had work to do moving forward after he left for heaven. And he also, right before he left, he gave them a very important instruction. He said, don't do anything until you receive the Paraclete. Don't do anything until the Counselor comes. Don't do anything until the Holy Spirit is poured out upon you. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. I know some of you know, we're talking Peter, who's Mr. Impetuous. He wants to jump out of the boat all the time. Jesus is like, guys, wait. Just be quiet and wait for the Holy Spirit to come after I leave you. And then, boom, he's up in the sky, goes into the clouds, he's gone. And if you want to read about it, Acts chapter 1, if you just open Acts chapter 1 in your scripture, you can read about that this morning. And in that moment, in Acts chapter 1, verse 12, that's where we find this story right after Jesus ascends into the heavens about how the apostles, the disciples are now apostles, they're church builders. They all joined together and they decided it was time to replace the one who had been pruned. It's now time to bring someone else on board seeking guidance for the replacement of Judas Iscariot. And when all is said and done, you can read the story there in Acts chapter 1, they chose Matthias. They chose Matthias. This is the first time Matthias's name comes up that I'm aware of in the scriptures. He shows up in Acts chapter 1. We don't know much about Matthias, but we do know one thing about this guy. Matthias, according to the scriptures, was the real deal. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that he was essentially one of Jesus' invisible disciples. The Gospels are full of stories about the 12, right? And the Gospels tell us all about the inner circle that that Jesus had. Peter, James, John were kind of his inner circle of intimate friends. And then you had the 12 disciples. And just outside of the circle of 12, there was this other group of followers that followed Jesus everywhere. Matthias is one of these people. Matthias had been with them the entire duration of Jesus' earthly ministry. And he was there, the scripture tells us, he was there all the way back in John chapter 1. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, Matthias is in the background witnessing this. He has a story. Part of, we sang, this is my story, this is my song. Part of Matthias' story, even though he's not mentioned as a major character in the story of Jesus in the Gospels, he's there every step of the way. Every story we read about, he witnessed firsthand. He saw it. There were many people who witnessed this story unfold, the story of Jesus unfolding before them. Matthias had been with them the entire time. He was there right up until this hour. He was with them in that 40-day period when Jesus walked the earth. He witnessed, eyewitness, experienced resurrection Jesus. One of the many people who experienced resurrection Jesus. And he watched Jesus go up into the clouds. And he was there when the angel said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up? This same Jesus is going to come back again." Amen. Matthias had been there the whole time, and I want you to see this morning, he's the replacement for Judas. God is getting ready, folks, to do a new thing. Acts chapter 1 is just exploding with anticipation and potential for what's going to happen next when the Spirit comes. What is going to happen next? For the nation of Israel, it would take 40 years for the pruning process to be complete. God said, nobody in this generation is going to go into the promised land because they have been found unworthy, untrustworthy. For the disciples, now the apostles of Jesus, it took 40 days. It took 40 days. This in-between period that we've been talking about, this in-between period, in between the time Jesus rose from the grave until Pentecost Sunday, this in-between period is coming to a close. The waiting is almost over. The anticipation is palpable. What's going to happen next? The preparations that Jesus had put into play were coming into completion. They were almost ready for this new thing. Can you see it unfolding here, church? Can you see it? New thing, new growth. New growth is preceded by pruning. It's what we're watching unfold in this 40 days. New growth is preceded by pruning. For the nation of Israel, a generation of unbelieving hearts needed to be pruned before the people could enter the promised land. And for the disciples, Judas Iscariot, the bad egg, had to be pruned and replaced before something new could emerge. Jesus taught them all about this. They were all very familiar with this. As a matter of fact, on the last night that Jesus was on earth before he was crucified, he had Passover dinner with his disciples. You remember this? They had Passover dinner. He winds up washing their feet, and they're just all amazed. And he spent this time teaching them. Part of the time was in the upper room when they took that Passover dinner together. And after they got done with dinner, Jesus said, "Let's go for a walk." And they walked out, and they walked over to the Garden of Gethsemane, which was a vineyard. We think of the Garden of Gethsemane being full of lilacs. But it was a vineyard full of grapevines. And Jesus, in John chapter 15, he tells them about this whole nature of something new coming and the need for getting rid of the bad so that the new and the growth can come forward. John chapter 15, verse 1, if you want to look it up. John chapter 15 is red letter words of Jesus, some of my favorite passages in Scripture. Jesus says, "I am the true vine." He's teaching his disciples. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes." See that there? "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." I want you to get this notation. I want you to notice this nuance in what Jesus is teaching his disciples this morning. He cuts off, in verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. That's one type of cutting off. He just cuts it off. If it doesn't have the potential to bear fruit, he just cuts it off. Right? "While every branch that does have the potential to bear fruit," instead of cutting it off, he prunes. He cuts back in certain places at just the right place so that new growth can occur in that branch that has potential. I want you to see this morning, church. New growth is preceded by pruning. How many of you believe that Maplewood has the potential to grow in the future? Amen. Amen. God has something in our story planned and prepared. I don't know exactly what it is, but I'm excited to be part of the story. And I think it has something to do with people being drawn in, meeting this Jesus that we know and love, building a relationship with him, making him part of their story, becoming part of a faith family of people who aren't extraordinary by any means. We're just ordinary people. We're just regular folks, just trying to follow the Master, learning to love God, learning to love others, one person at a time. New growth, church, is preceded by pruning. And I really do believe that God wants to do something new in the heart and soul of every one of his followers at Maplewood. I believe that God truly wants each and every one of us. I've been saying it since the beginning of the year. God is calling you and me to go deeper with him than we've ever gone before in our lives. What does that look like for you? I keep on checking in on this. I'm your pastor. I'm trying to pull us along on this path. What does going deeper with Jesus than you ever have before, what does that look like for you individually? Whether you've been a Christian for 80 years or you've been a Christian for 80 minutes, we can all go deeper with Jesus than we ever have before in our lives. And folks, he's not calling us to inch forward, inchworm. You know, oh, you'll do this, Jesus. I'm going further. Look, I'm 2 inches further than I was last year. Folks, he's calling us to go deeper with him, to get in the car and go deeper with him than we ever have before in our lives. Think about what that looks like for you this morning. What does it look like for you to go deeper with Jesus than you ever have before? And what do you need to get rid of in your life so that more growth can occur? What do you need to get rid of in your life so that new growth can happen? What needs to be pruned from your heart so that you can truly go deeper with Jesus than you ever have before in your life? I think sometimes we look at our lives like Pastor Vicky and I were looking at that lilac bush in our backyard. It had a lot of growth, but it had stopped flowering. It lost its beauty. The leaves were nice, but they didn't really serve a purpose but to attract bugs. It was only when I made the hard decision to cut the bush back to get rid of the excess growth that it was able to become more fruitful than it was before. You see where we're going with this morning? This is what pruning is all about. It's about getting rid of branches in our lives that aren't producing fruit. Cutting off branches that aren't producing fruit and pruning the branches that have the potential to bear fruit in our lives. My question for us this morning, my question for all of us, what are you allowing to remain in your life that is spiritually choking you to death? This is God talking to us. What are we allowing to tolerate in our lives? What are we allowing to remain in our lives and in our hearts that is spiritually choking us to death? What are we tolerating? Pruning makes way for growth, folks. Pruning always precedes a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of us are hungry for more of Jesus. We're hungry for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We want to grow in Him. We want to grow in knowledge. We want to grow in love. We want to be His people. We want to become the people that He's calling us to be. We want. We desire. We're hungry for more of Jesus. We want to go deeper. But do we trust Him enough to allow Him to prune us of thoughts, attitudes, habits, or heaven forbid, things that we've allowed to become idols in our lives that are preventing us from receiving what He wants to provide in a fresh, abundant new way? Folks, you can't receive what the Holy Spirit wants to give you if your arms are full of stuff that you don't want to let go of.
Amen.
Your arms are full. You only have certain capacity to hold on so many things. Do we trust Him enough to lay down those things? If we're walking with Jesus, if we're truly committed to following Him, learning to love God, learning to love others one person at a time, do we have the courage to trust Him in this whole process of pruning? My advice for each and every one of us this morning is to, if we're following Jesus, are we willing to give Him permission to point out to us where we need to prune things in our lives so that we can make way for new growth? Where we need to allow Him to come in and prune things from our hearts so that we can experience new spiritual growth. The key here is, do we have the courage? Do we have the courage to give God permission to search your heart, to search your entire being, to let Him examine and determine if anything needs to be cut away? You might be good. Nope, I'm good. And this is what we do with Jesus a lot of the time. You know, we know there's a need. We're aware there's a need. But when we bump up against it, we go, nope, I'm good. This is kind of like my relationship with my dentist. All right? How many of you just love going to the dentist? Carl does. Kim does. I mean, I love people, the eyes of Jesus, but there's a certain help I need to love my dentist. But I know that I need to go to the dentist when I have a toothache. But sometimes I'll tolerate, come on, can I get a witness? Sometimes I'll tolerate a lot of pain. My threshold for pain is pretty high before I decide that I need to submit and go to the dentist and have the appropriate work done so that I can be relieved of the pain and so my chompers can be healthy. Some of us have gone to the dentist before and we've waited so long that the only choice the dentist has is to prune the gum of the tooth. Amen? We've been there. Some of you have beautiful bridge work. You know? Amen. God bless y'all. But, you know, do we have the courage to give God permission to get in there and do the work? Or are we just bouncing up against him? We say, yeah, I got a need, but I'm just going to tolerate it in my life. We don't realize that when we're tolerating that thing in our lives, it is choking us to death spiritually. It's sucking the spiritual oxygen out of our souls. We need to allow God to have permission to search our hearts, to examine our entire being, to let him search all of us to determine if anything needs to be cut away. Amen. We all need some pruning from time to time. If you say, nope, I'm good, it's probably a good sign you need some. You know? From the youngest of believers to the most mature, part of growing up in Christ, part of going deeper with Jesus than we've ever gone before, is to give God permission to show us what needs to be cut, to show us what needs to be pruned, so that we can be filled, so that we can bear fruit, fruit that lasts. Fruit in your life that contributes to the whole here, that carries Maplewood into its future. Because folks, your spiritual walk with Jesus, it matters not only to you, it matters to everybody else around you here. We all got to be spiritually healthy. We've all got to have the courage to admit that we need help. We've all got to have the courage to be allowing God to search our hearts. Our individual spiritual health feeds into the overall spiritual health or lack thereof of our church body. And it all starts with whether or not we're willing to allow God to prune the lilacs. That's where it starts. It's hard, but it's what God demands of us. If we're to grow, God wants to do a new thing at Maplewood. I really believe this with all my heart. I believe this with all my heart. God wants to do a new thing. There are certain things that need to be pruned in our lives. I don't know exactly what they are. The Holy Spirit knows. I don't know your business. You know what God needs to prune from your heart. And I want you to know that as we resist, we're holding the whole family back. And so this is an opportunity for us to all be, we're all, there's nobody better than anybody else here, right? We're all on the same page. We're all one in Christ. Amen. And as we follow him, we as followers of Jesus have to give collectively him permission to show us where we need to let things go. And we need to give him permission to prune us so that we can grow more in the future. Are you with me? Amen. This is what he's calling us to.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.